day you made. So I rejoice and be glad, rejoice and be glad in it. Hey! And this is where I believe that you are more than enough, more than enough for me. Hey! You are faithful to your promise. You are strong when I am weak. When I'm standing in your presence, I have everything I need. Come on, we sing. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's more than a feeling. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's right, church, that's right. Oh, my soul, bless his name. All that is within me, say, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord.
Well, hey, if it's your first night with us, real quick, I just want to give you a rundown that when we get into our 25 minutes of personal prayer. There's a bunch of prayer requests up here. That's where those white cards are. So you can feel free to grab some of those and pray over those needs. Join your faith with those people. And then if you need some resources to help you pray during the 25 minutes, we have these prayer booklets right here. You can grab one of those and they'll give you some ideas of how you can pray. And there's just some different resources. So make sure you check that stuff out. Tonight, I want to talk to us briefly about looking to Jesus to find complete freedom. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." You know, humans or humanity faces two big problems. The first big problem is that we're in sin, and because we are in sin, we are not in right relationship with God. And the second big problem we have is this, is that we feel like we can correct our relationship with God through works or doing the right religious things. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You feel like your relationship with God's not where it should be, or maybe you've made a mistake and fallen into sin somehow, and you're like, well, I can make it up to God. I can just go, you know, maybe if I go to church enough times, or I spend enough time in prayer this week, or if I do, then I'll be okay with God. But what the Apostle Paul wants us to know is that no, Jesus is actually the remedy for both of these things. Jesus is the one who died for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins and restored in that right relationship with Jesus. And Jesus is the cure to us feeling like we can fix or repair our relationship with God on our own, because the Bible says that he himself is our righteousness. In Acts 13, 38 and 39, it says, "Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses." See, here's the thing. In our lives, sin, even when we come to Jesus and we confess Jesus as Savior and we find forgiveness for our sins, sin doesn't want to give up on you. It wants to keep coming and try to tempt and try to deceive and try to pull you under. And for some of us, you know, our past lives, it can take a while for the renewal of our minds. And sometimes it can feel like sin's still got a home. But what the Apostle Paul tells us and what the scriptures reveal to us is know that Jesus came to set you free and to set you free completely. And in our lives, we're going to have plenty of opportunities that we need to remind ourselves of the freedom that Jesus purchased for us on the cross. And maybe you're here today and you're like super good in this area. I promise you there are people in the church that aren't. And they need you to be able to remind them and encourage them that no, sin doesn't actually have power over you anymore if you're in Jesus. You have been set free from that. But Jesus also, he brings us to a place of freedom from this thing that we feel like we have to do something to impress God or to please him or to make ourselves in right relationship with him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, the Apostle Paul, again, he's writing, he says, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." See, I'm not a perfect person. I'm not a perfect person. And whenever I have mistakes, or whenever I fall into sin, and by the way, I qualify sin as anytime I'm not loving God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, or not loving my neighbor as myself. That's the way Jesus would say it, anyways. Whenever I fail to do so, I have to remind myself that Jesus paid the price for that, and that in Jesus paying that price, he's actually purchased this freedom for me, that I actually can become this person, that I can actually follow Jesus into this, and that the life of Jesus can be cultivated in me so that I become a type of person who, to the best, you know, as much as we can in this earthly life, loves God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loves his neighbor as himself. But I also have to remind myself that whenever I don't meet that standard and whenever I do fall short, that it's not my burden to try to do something to put myself in right relationship with the Lord again. In Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul is talking about circumcision, because there were some people who were going around and telling the churches that, yeah, you can be saved through faith in Jesus, but you also need this other work to be in right relationship with God. And the Apostle Paul is confronting that, and he's challenging it with some rather sharp language, actually. And he's saying, no, Jesus did everything necessary for you to have the right relationship with God. And so I have to remind myself, no, I'm free from sin's power. It doesn't have a say anymore. I can follow Jesus into freedom. And I also don't have to try to make it right with God, because Jesus did enough to make it right with God. But then that does bring us to Paul's point of, well, what about crucifying my flesh? Because later in that same chapter, he would go on to say this: those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Well, the point is, Jesus fulfills the requirements for righteousness in our lives, but he doesn't remove the responsibility for it. God has saved us into a new life, and he has every expectation that we will live into the freedom that he has purchased for us. Not out of this weird obligation that I need to try to earn this right standing that is freely given to me by God's grace. But no, the Apostle Paul says that, hey, whatever you sow into is what you're going to reap. And you can be saved and have faith in God and still be living in such a way in certain areas of your life where you're sowing into the flesh and you're going to reap that same destruction. That same thing that Jesus is trying to rescue you from, you can still be sowing into it even though you're free. It doesn't have the power to hold you anymore. And so the Apostle Paul would say, hey, since you live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, the Apostle Paul is trying to say to us, because of the freedom we have in Jesus, keep pursuing freedom. Keep moving in the direction that God is calling you. Keep pursuing after holiness and righteousness, not out of this misplaced, I'm trying to earn something, but out of this place of saying, God has made me something new in Jesus, and the new thing he's made me is meant to be a part of his eternal kingdom. And in his eternal kingdom, sin will no longer be a part of the story. And because I've been saved for that kingdom, I want to start living like that's where I'm at right now. And so we have to confront the shortcomings in our life, but we confront them with boldness, because I know that Jesus has done what I cannot do for myself. And for some of you today, I would just encourage you in your 25 minutes of prayer. Some of you maybe have some family members that they need to know that and need to be reminded of that. I know that working with teenagers, pretty often they need reminded, hey, you're not saved because of how good you are at following Jesus. You're saved because of what Jesus has done for you. Oh, and by the way, when Jesus saves you, he breaks sin's power off of your life. You can actually live a different life because of Jesus. The things that were part of your past aren't going to be a part of your future. They need reminded of that. Did you know in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 13, we're told to encourage one another daily so that no one is hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin wants to trap us and make us feel like we're still prisoners to something that Jesus has set us free from. He set us free from sin, and he set us free from thinking that we have to earn that freedom. And he's just good for that. But we want to be a people who are consistently praying into this. Because again, I'm not perfect. And when I make those mistakes, I have to remind myself, hey, I'm not saved because of what I've done. I'm saved because of what he has done for me. Oh, and the salvation is complete freedom. I just want to, can I just speak that over you for just a moment? Complete freedom in Jesus. Walking with the Spirit is how we experience that freedom. But you are free to walk in it. Jesus has done that for you. He's done that for your loved ones who are maybe in the struggle. He set them free too. So be willing to remind them of that. The enemy wants to come and tell us we are our past. And sometimes we want to say that too, if we're honest. We just see people go through the same cycles and we're like, you'll never change. No. They've been set free in Jesus. If they're in Christ, freedom is theirs. And we need to remind each other of that. So I just encourage you, in your 25 minutes of personal prayer, if you need to pray that over your own life, Lord, I'm free because you've made me free. And I'm in right relationship because of what you have done. Now help me to crucify my flesh and live into the freedom you've given me. or to pray that over loved ones in your life that need to be reminded of that as well.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. This is the reason you made it.
Y'all give it up for the legendary Cody Carnes.
Consuming fire, our God is alive. whatever you touch will be. Lord, let my life be an altar. Light up my lungs with your praise. 'Cause I can't breathe until you breathe. So breathe on. We'll be right back.
In the name of Jesus,
he won't
Amen. We're going to enter into our time of corporate prayer. And the way we're going to do this, I'm going to throw out some topics, just general topics. And then we'll spend about 2 minutes praying on that. But I encourage you, as I throw these topics out, to pray your own words. And just pray of the people you think of, children you think of. Tonight, our focus is the children's ministry. And the first thing we want to be praying is that our children's church is a place where children who don't know Jesus feel welcome and loved, and that salvation is a commonplace here. So you can be praying for children from the north, the south, the east, and the west to come. Children from all sorts of backgrounds, family situations, social economic states. We just want them all here to feel welcome and loved. So just pray for that. Children's Church Dream Team. We want to be praying over our leaders that they would love like Jesus, that they would be full of the Spirit, that they would be blessed with patience as they labor with our children. So, Father, we just lift up our Children's Church workers to you, from Pastor Jared, the children's pastor, all the way down, Father, to the just nursery people, to the people that are just watching in the hallways. God, we just lift up these children's church workers, God, and I pray that you would just fill them so full with your joy that it would be contagious, Father. I pray that you would fill them with your Spirit, God, that they'd be full of your power as they minister. Father, we pray, God, we just want to start praying that, Lord, the gifts of the Spirit and the work of miracles would be released in our children's church services, Father, that God, the gifts of the Spirit, the discerning of spirits, Lord, that you would just fill our children's ministry, God, with your Spirit and with your power, that their faith might not just be words, but they'd be the demonstration of the Spirit's power. God, we pray for our children's church workers, God, that they be sensitive to your Spirit when you're speaking over the children's ministry, when you're speaking over each individual student's lives, that they would be for the gift of discernment, God, that you show them what's going on. God, that they would know how to minister effectively to each student. God, that they would just sense what's going on and what's needed, Father, that they would be able to hear what you're speaking and see what you're doing. Father, that you touch their lips and speak your human beings, children's lives. Let me pray over you and then we'll dismiss you. Heavenly Father, thank you for every person in this room and every person that's joined us.